Well, let's read that account in the Bible, shall we? Luke chapter 2, verse 2. No, I don't think it's verse 2. Let's see, verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. There's the Bible account of the same visual we've just seen.
Thank you, Marian. What an incredible scene that unfolds here. Have you ever seen something, you know, so beautiful it just kind of took you by surprise? Something was just breathtaking. About 3 years ago, my daughter Abigail and I flew to London to visit my other daughter, Emily, who's sitting in the front here, who was living in London at that time. And actually, Emily is about to leave to go back to London January 1st to work at Holy Trinity Brompton Church. As we were flying there in the middle of the night, a stewardess came over to Abigail and said that if she wanted to see the northern lights, there was a great view of them out one of the windows. So we got up to take a look, and it was just incredible. But that was nothing compared to this heavenly host that came and lit up the sky that night. And then hearing this tremendous chorus of praise. First, one angel appeared to the shepherd, bringing the announcement. When the shepherd saw the angel, they were naturally afraid. It all but took their breath away, which is why the first words from the angel were ones of reassurance. And then after calming their fears, the angel declares what God is doing. Good news. Salvation has come. The angel tells them, "You will find the baby in a manger." Not just go look for a newborn in Bethlehem, but give specifics as to what they are to look for. They will recognize the child when they see a newborn in the town of David, in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. As with all prophetic declarations of a sign, the visible physical reality confirms the announcement. And as if the announcement was not enough, then there appears this host of angels. First, God sent a single angel to meet these men in the field. And as they catch their breath and begin to understand they're not going to die, then the heavenly host breaks onto the scene and lights up the sky, singing praise to God, giving honor to him for what is taking place. What a chorus of praise that must have been. As Peter mentioned, you know, we had the opportunity of going to hear a Chris Tomlin Christmas concert this past week, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And Chris, in one of his comments, mentioned how these angels that announced the birth to the shepherds are still around today. I had never really thought about that. From the beginning, these angels have sung God's praises. The angels praised God at creation. And in Revelation, We see how they will be found praising. Revelation 7:12, the angels are singing, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. We see several places in Scripture where it's like the curtain of heaven is peeled back, allowing us to peer behind the veil into what is happening in the heavenly realm. Isaiah 6:1-3 tells us, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The angels who reside throughout eternity in heaven, around the throne of God, consistently praise, honor, and worship the Lord. Biblical scholar William Hendrickson makes the point that these angels have been associated with Christ in heaven before his incarnation. They knew something about his glory, riches, and majesty. And how amazed they must have been to learn that the creator of the universe was to be born as a human. They knew of mankind's fall, and they had the joy of proclaiming that God was providing a way of salvation for all humanity. They were now praising him at the beginning of a new creation. They must have been in awe at God's indescribably marvelous love, that he would come to earth under such circumstances and with such self-sacrificing purpose. No wonder they shout, glory to God in the highest. Up to this point, the angel encounters regarding the call of Christmas that we've been looking at this Advent season have been one with Mary, Joseph, and Zechariah. Now, they went public with this proclamation of the Messiah's birth to the shepherds. And when they did this, it was not in the temple, but out in a field to common, everyday people. It's significant that the shepherds were the ones that were included in this public announcement. Bach notes, creation has no more mysterious and exalted beings than angels, who represent the testimony of heavens to what is occurring. Moreover, there are no more normal Joes in ancient culture than shepherds. Heaven meets and greets the average person through this angelic announcement to the shepherds. The announcement is good news of great joy that will be for all the people, indicating that God desires to speak to every person about the coming of Jesus, since all humanity is impacted by his coming. There are some commentators that argue that the shepherds had a negative reputation and that they were despised. But this negative reputation for shepherds really occurs later on. It's not during the first century. The biblical shepherd imagery is mostly positive. The association is one that presents this image of just everyday people. God is involved not with the special or the great, but with all people. He does not exclude anyone from the good news. The angel had come to tell them that God was doing something about their lostness, their pain, emptiness, and sin, and points out that this good news is not simply people for one nation, but for the whole world. The angel says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. The phrase, on whom his favor rests, was used in Jewish culture to mean that someone was part of God's chosen people. Jesus comes for all. The angel message was that God had come. Redemption was possible. Literally, the angel said, I announce to you good news, a great joy which will be to all the people. The good news is for everyone, We are all impacted by his coming. But not all respond, and not all benefit from his coming. The shepherds then respond and follow the direction of the angel. The text said, when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They go and they find the baby, just as the angel had said, and worship him. The shepherds received the message of faith and then responded with immediate obedience. Last week we saw how Joseph did this, how he received the call to take Mary as his wife. The Christmas call that we considered last week was the call to obedience. And then after finding the baby, the shepherds marveled at God's grace and goodness and the miracle that he had created for them. And they reported the good news, glorifying and praising God. The call to the shepherds was a call to praise. The angels desire that all creation praise his holy name. As the host returned to heaven from where they came, the shepherds soon heeded that call of Christmas, joining in the praising of the Lord that they found in the manger. They accepted the call of praising God. The splendor that we see here of this vision with the angels is in sharp contrast to what of the commonness and all that was going on at the time. The ruler of the day, Caesar Augustus, thought that a census should be taken in order that updated tax rolls could be formed. Great. More taxes to be paid. Often have we said that. And as the Jews made their way back to their hometowns to register, they were frustrated and angry. Life was difficult at that time, just as life today is difficult. Taxes were high, there was unemployment, the military state was in control, and morals were slipping. It was into this that God sent his son. And we must not lose sight of the fact that he came not just for them at that time, but for us. Daniel Partner notes, look around you at all the people bustling about on their Christmas errands. Remember that God's good will has come not only to a select few, but to all humanity, even to those who curse God, who sin grievously against him, or who simply have not yet heard this gracious invitation. Come now, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Little did Caesar Augustus know that God sovereignly was at work through this annoying Roman decree. But God has always had a way of working through the affairs of nations to accomplish his own purposes. If we are feeling furious, annoyed, or downright frustrated this Christmas, we can take heart. God longs to insert himself into our life situations to bring peace, joy, hope, and love. Where have you found your mind and heart going this Christmas? Annoyed? Weary, lonely, sad, overwhelmed. As I was praying over the green cards this past week, my heart was heavy over the things that many of you are dealing with. Health issues, personally or with those that you love dearly. Financial issues, work problems, strained relationships, and a whole host of other hurts and frustrations. This past week brought a variety of frustrations for me. I found myself bombarded with all sorts of things. One frustration, which really is, in comparison, is really quite minor, but it was my car. 3 visits to the automotive shop this week, only to have it overheat when I'm in Vancouver driving over 2 bridges. A little bit stressful. Not comparable to other life issues. But these things can rob our joy, questioning, where is the spirit of Christmas in all this? I had to keep reminding myself this week of his presence, that he is still Emmanuel, God with us. God walks with us where we are and who we are. Jesus is no longer in a manger. He is seated at the right hand of God, aware of all that is going on, aware of all that we do and say. To regain our Christmas spirit, we must turn to him and honestly admit where we are and ask him to open our cloudy eyes to see into the heavenly realm. Reflecting on the Christmas story can renew our sense of relationship with God. The King, the Son of David, the Lord, the Savior, was sent from heaven to identify with us, to walk with us, die for us, be raised for us, and relate to us. That is the story of Jesus. And that is a story worthy of praise and worthy to be told. There's a great hymn written by Fanny Crosby, who was blind, that says, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in." This is a summary of a woman who knew great loss. And yet she saw God in her darkness. And the chorus of that hymn says, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done." We can praise God, not just rejoicing in Christ's birth, because it doesn't stop there. He is involved in our lives right now. By the Spirit, his presence continues and works in our lives. William Barclay, in his commentary, tells a story of a European monarch who worried his court often by disappearing and walking incognito amongst his people. And when he was asked not to do this for security's sake, he answered, "I cannot rule my people unless I know how they live." We have a God who knows how we live, because he lived it too. He is not removed and aloof from us. The call today is still a call to praise. The need to praise God is universal, no matter what era we belong to. Verbal praise lifts our souls and opens us up to be receptive to God. Praise given to God refreshes our souls. After the shepherds see Jesus, Luke tells us, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." Something I think maybe we can forget is that they returned to where they were. They went back to work with the sheep in the field. And as they return, they're praising God, testifying what God has done. Where they worked was the greatest place to be on mission and tell others about Jesus. We can have those amazing moments, time off, vacation, going to concerts, times of worship at church. But at some point, we have to go back to work, just as the shepherds did. We can go back to our jobs and schools and neighborhoods and friendships, living a call to praise, loving others well, and telling the story of the good news of Jesus as we go about our day, in whatever domain we happen to work and live within. We can tell the story of Jesus, taking steps to make the kingdom a reality in the world, by living for Christ in every area of our life, in the love and power of the Holy Spirit. We are to be God's people, living powerfully and lovingly in every domain of life. He is the one who came to save us, our Savior, Christ the Lord. Telling others about the Savior is a call to all of us, as well as a great privilege. As with the shepherds, we are to follow where God leads, and with grace, testify to His direction in our lives. When God guides us through a trial, a vocational crossroads, a decision, a relationship, we should be prepared to speak about how He has impacted our lives. The shepherds did so as they praised the one whom they met in the manger. That's the call of Christmas, a call to praise. This Christmas, may we be the people who carry the good news of Jesus into every area of life, so all people can hear the call of Christmas that leads to praising Jesus, just like the heavenly host did that night, and continue to do so throughout all eternity. From angels to shepherds, from heaven to earth, we are called to praise. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Lord, we pray and sing with the angels, glory to God in the highest. We give you this day glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for this glimpse of heaven and the praises of the angels. And as the glories of the heavenly host are echoed, we open ourselves up to your Spirit. And Lord, we give you thanks. We are grateful that your story has become our story. Continue, we pray, that you would instill in us a profound sense of your abiding presence. And help us to take to heart the wonder of your love, that we may walk in your ways, and Lord, that we would delight in your will. Thank you for your gift of love, and may we respond to this call to praise. May your name be lifted high this day and forevermore. Amen. May the God of the angels, who heralded Christ's birth, bring joy to your hearts this day and always. May the God of love, who gave His only Son to be born for you, fill your life with love and peace. And may Emmanuel, God with us, be with you in all your doings and all your celebrations until He brings you into His eternal kingdom. Amen.